Petersfield Community Radio.
Hello, I'm Claire Venice.
And I'm Geoff Lacey.
We're enjoying the great outdoors.
Socially distanced to bring you
The Peapod. In this week's remotely recorded Peapod, coming from Geoff's garden once again, you'll be hearing from Chris Ricketts, music teacher at the Petersfield School, about the virtual summer music festival taking place this Friday.
The Petersfield Post chief reporter John Walker is back to tell us what's going to be in the newspaper this week. Noni Needs meets with James Foodie Fairweather in a barbecue special recipe exchange. Alan has more handy tips in Kosh Saves You Dosh. And there's an update from Butts Ancient Farm with Nina Venice.
And as if that wasn't enough, we'll have a 60-second history from the team at the Petersfield Museum. Helen Adams has another mindful moment and will bring you your local weather, money news, and find out where Susie has been on her weekly wild walk.
If you love Petersfield...
I love the square.
It's a lovely, lovely town.
The hangers.
Everyone's welcome.
Then the Peapod loves you.
It's just a nice town.
Everything Petersfield is in the Peapod with Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey.
Hello, Claire. How's the last 7 days been for you?
Hi, Geoff. Well, it's been a hot one, hasn't it? It was really, really warm last week. A little bit different this evening, recording in your garden, which is a bit chilly and windy. It's been a good week, thank you. How are you? How's your ear?
Ear is still blocked. I've had a variety of hints and tips from listeners, but I'm a bit frightened. So I'm just leaving it at the moment. Hopefully it will go away.
I think that's probably the best move. Actually, talking of tips from listeners, I was contacted by a listener to tell me that you can freeze strawberries. So that's from Alan Kosh. Thank you, Alan. Petersfield Community's very own Alan Kosh, who contacted me to say that he does freeze strawberries. So I've gone and done it. I've got about 900 grams of strawberries now freezing. So I will hopefully be able to defrost those and eat them later on in the year. So thank you, Alan, for that.
I've had a couple of words used to describe me over the last 7 days, and I just really want to get your thoughts about how I should take them. Last week's episode of the Peapod was put on Twitter. The link was put on Twitter and it was retweeted a number of times. And someone who has retweeted it has said, "Does that genial host remind you of anyone?" What does genial mean to you?
Well, I think it means friendly, cheerful, doesn't it, Geoff? I think that describes you, I'd have thought. What do you take it to mean?
Well, whenever someone says, oh, they're happy, fun to be around, I just think they think the funny fat bloke. And then I'm going to follow this straight up. I went out with the boys a couple of weeks ago. The boys were described as looking really good. And I was described as sturdy.
Okay.
Genial and sturdy just seem too similar. What do you think?
Well, you're friendly and you're cheerful and you know, you've got good balance.
So should I be offended and should I do something about it?
I don't think you should be offended. I don't think you should be offended. I think take it for what it is, Geoff, and enjoy.
Thanks. And so what's happened? What else has happened in your week, Claire?
Well, we did go to the beach, actually.
Nice.
We didn't go to Bournemouth like most of the South. We went to visit my mother-in-law who lives in Hillhead, which is on the coast, and a lovely little spot. So it was a hot, hot day on Thursday, and the girls had been working in their bedrooms, doing their schoolwork. And, you know, it's hard to concentrate, isn't it, when it's that hot? So we thought, let's go and visit Nan and have a socially distanced picnic tea in her garden and have a dip in the sea beforehand. And it was busy. You know, the beaches were busy, although not like the scenes in Bournemouth. There was plenty of room to socially distance, which we did, of course. And the sea, actually, there weren't that many people in the sea. It just was amazing to go swimming in the sea. I do love a bit of sea swimming. And I haven't been, obviously, at all this year yet. So it was lovely. I'm still dreaming of it. It felt great. So we did. We enjoyed that. And I don't know when we're next going to go back, but it was very nice to see my mother-in-law, who's a lovely lady. So it was a great way to end the hot sunny days that we had last week.
Nice. Well, the closest I got to was putting my feet in a bucket of cold water because I've got a paddling pool and I didn't have time to go to the beach.
So has anything else happened to you, Geoff, this week?
I work in the town and I've seen up the High Street, up Lavant Street, signs about changes to parking and how they're going to be running the town. And it's resonated with me this week because where I work, at the bottom of the High Street, someone did park for 5 hours at the bottom of the High Street, creating a bottleneck. Now, it was a restricted parking area, but they didn't care. So I can understand, and this is only my own personal opinion, I can understand why you'd want to look at some sort of pedestrianisation or that type of thing for the High Street and the square. But starting this week, they have actually stopped people from parking in the square, which for me, personally, I think it's a good idea. What do you think?
Well, I suppose with the social distancing that we have to do now, the shops and next week with the cafes and the pubs being reopened, you know, it is going to be difficult to walk on the pavement in town if there are queues also on the pavement. In fact, it's pretty much impossible. I mean, for someone who doesn't actually live in town, I do have to obviously drive to go into town, and I do use the parking spots on the High Street and not very often the square, actually, because there isn't usually a free one there, and also Lavant Street. So they are handy little half-an-hour spots to pop into. It's quite an interesting question because I love the idea of pedestrianisation, you know, the High Street and the square particularly. I think the atmosphere there could be amazing when it's a lovely day and people are out enjoying having a coffee, you know, Cloisters or the other restaurants and bars there. So it's going to be interesting how this transition takes place, I think.
More importantly, we'd like to know what you think. Have you been affected? Are you likely to be affected? So if this story resonates with you, please do get in touch on Peterswood 555 500 or drop us an email to pod@thepeapod.uk.
And we're planning to get out and about in the Petersphere again from next week, and we'll hopefully be recording the Peapod in the garden at the Old Drum Pub in town. So if you have a venue or a business that would like to host a recording of the show on a Monday evening, do let us know.
Coming up, we have Noni's Recipe Exchange, and we'll talk to Chris Ricketts. But first, we have your news with the effervescent Dave Bowers.
Petersfield's local news.
Children at Petersfield Infant School are getting free fruit until the end of term, thanks to the company that runs the market and members of Petersfield's Ladies Circle. Katie Bishop explained to Susie and Laura on the Morning Report how it all happened.
We set up a PayPal account for Ladies Circle, and in 36 hours, we'd had like over £150 donated by members of the community. I contacted the local veg box people, or Bryant Brothers, and I said, I want to organise this fruit to go into school, because some parents are sending kids in with fruit, but others were not, and it's a bit of a shame. You know, everyone should have access to that every day. And they said, the owners, Debbie and John, said, do you know what? We'll fund the whole thing ourselves.
Oh, fantastic.
Which was absolutely amazing. So basically, it's become a joint venture because the money that I had didn't cover the cost of the fruit. So between us and the community and the Bryant Brothers, local veg box people, it was enough for 250 pieces of fruit. So every child would get fruit for every day of the week right up until the end of July.
And you can learn more about the free fruit scheme and Petersfield Ladies Circle in the Morning Report programme at Petersfield Radio. UK. Petersfield Hospital is among the first to offer a new remote advice service. The scheme helps Hampshire residents keep safe and well on returning home after hospital stays. Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks has joined forces with Citizens Advice, Southern Water and Portsmouth Water to run the service, which is called Home and Well. It means patients can review their finances, including their utility bills, and is supported by Citizens Advice Hampshire's trained advisors. Home and Well is being offered across the whole of the NHS in Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, and our Petersfield Hospital is among its early adopters. With many Petersfield shops open again, but traffic control measures not yet in place, East Hampshire District Council has introduced a team of high street helpers to the town. Laura Shepherd reports.
The council helpers offer assistance and advice to shoppers and keep an eye out for any safety risks. They have also put up signs to remind shoppers to wear a face covering in enclosed spaces or where social distancing isn't possible, keep a minimum of 2 metres apart and avoid blocking the path, and wash hands before and after shopping, and consider carrying hand sanitizer.
Roads will be dug up through Petersfield town centre as a multi-million pound electricity infrastructure project starts this week. Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks says it is investing £8.4 million in the scheme that will take more than a year and a half to complete. The electricity substation on Bedford Road serves 10,000 homes and businesses and will install a new interconnector between Petersfield and Fernhurst. Project manager Yu Xuan says,
"This project is to create this direct link between Petersfield and Fernhurst, whilst we're keeping the existing links from Alton and Midhurst. So we're basically reinforcing the network to give Petersfield two additional connections from Fernhurst, where the Fernhurst is connected from National Grid sites."
And this week's East Hampshire Community Lottery numbers were drawn on Saturday. The winning numbers were 9, 1, 4, 0, 4 and 0. If you match two or more numbers in the sequence, you win a prize, and congratulations. The lottery organisers say there are 13 winners across the district this week, two of whom are here in Petersfield.
Petersfield Post John Walker is not one to laze about. He's always on the go, looking for the next story to break in the Petersphere. Let's find out what breaking news he has for us this week. Hello, John.
Oh, crikey. It's a bit of an online virtual storyline this week. Everybody seems to be doing everything online.
Oh, right.
It's all leaving me behind, I'm afraid. I don't get to do any of that stuff. Books, papers and tallies. It's as good as I get, I'm afraid.
Cool. So what's the biggest story in the Petersfield Post?
Oh, blimey. Straight in there, Geoff.
Straight in, mate.
Let's not mess around with all the namby-pamby stuff. Let's just get straight to the nitty-gritty. Righty. The pedestrianisation of Petersfield Square is being implemented this week. There's going to be a bus gate put somewhere. It's got a bit of a ring to it, bus gate. You can see the headlights already, can't you? Yeah, that's been implemented or put into place this week, and already it's been, before it's even started, people are complaining, mainly the taxi drivers and the disabled drivers and so on and so forth, saying that it's all unfair. They're actually going to, the taxi drivers' customers will have to walk now a few yards to get the car, and the disabled people will have to walk a mile to get to the shops, which is a problem that needs to be resolved. But one of the biggest issues seems to be that, because as you know, they're reducing the parking spots in the High Street and the and Lavin Street around the square and so on. But one of the biggest problems seems to be at them already, day one, here we are, bus gate breaking, is that nobody's enforcing these lack of parking, the closed parking spaces. So a lot of people seem to be just parking as normal, which is kind of defeating the object of the exercise. At the moment, that seems to be the problem. The fact that it's overall seems to be a good idea that's been welcomed by a lot of people. There are teething problems, but nobody's actually standing there telling people where they can and can't park.
And what else you got in there, mate, this week, mate?
Well, Berriton Art Trail, very popular with artists from Petersfield and just general art lovers, has been cancelled this year. So they're running a Berriton online virtual art trail. I don't know how that would quite work out, but they're doing it, which is good news. TPS, continuing the artistic theme, have put all their A-level art student work and GCSE art student work on a online exhibition. And to round it all up, Petersfield in Bloom, get your online entries in by 5 o'clock on Wednesday. So there we are. It's a virtual world, Geoff, apart from the parking, which is far too real.
Thank you very much for joining us again this week. And hopefully we'll be recording at the Drum next Monday, if you fancy joining us from there.
Oh, blimey. Is the bar going to be open, do you think?
The garden's going to be open, yes. We've already spoken to them.
Okay, so we could have a drink then?
We could have a drink, yes, mate.
Good Lord. In a pub. Whatever next? What is the government thinking of?
Thanks as always, John. The Peaceful Post is out every Wednesday and costs 75 pence. So please get one with your weekly shop or subscribe to the digital version.
Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey in Petersfield's Peapod.
The scorching heat of last week has left us, which may be a relief for some or cause concern that summer has passed for others. Here's what's in store for us this coming week.
After the very blustery weather of Sunday and Monday, the weather will be calming down through the week, although further rain is going to occur. Wednesday will be mixed with sunny intervals in the morning, but showers will develop from late morning and into the afternoon. There could be some heavy downpours. It will be relatively cool with temperatures reaching 19 centigrade. Thursday will again be a showery mix with some sunny intervals and some showers in the afternoon. Winds will be lighter and from a northwesterly direction, which will make it feel rather cool, although when the sun appears, it will feel reasonably pleasant. Friday will be dry with some longer spells of sunshine, particularly in the morning, and lighter winds. Temperatures will reach 21 centigrade. Overnight temperatures will be around 12 to 13 centigrade, so quite comfortable for sleeping. The UV levels are still high, but grass pollen levels are slowly falling.
Thank you, Richard. Now, last week, Noni bought us a delicious pesto recipe, which prompted me to confess that I don't like cheese, except cheddar. This week, she's back talking to James Fairweather about the do's and don'ts of barbecue. Now, that's my style.
So lockdown's easing and we can start socialising a little bit more, apparently. So I'm talking with Foodie Fairweather about barbecues and entertaining outside. So, James, what are you going to talk about today?
The whole thing about barbecues is that some of the best impromptu ones, you decide day that there's going to be a barbie, you invite a few people whom hopefully you like. There are dangers in barbecues, of course.
What are those?
Well, they're blokes, really. blokes seem to think that only they can cook barbies.
It's their terrain, really.
Well, so they say, yes. But I must say, I've had enough charred on the outside, raw on the inside meals cooked by blokes at barbies to persuade me that, as in quite a lot of areas, blokes actually don't know what they're talking about, and it would be just as well handled by anybody, to be perfectly honest with you. I loathe this whole let's divide the sexes up, you know, let's have women there, men there, and never the twain shall meet. I'd sooner not be there, actually. So it should be an opportunity to, you know, meet.
I think a joint effort.
Well, yes. Yes, you know, women make the salads, men burn the meat. No. Just whoever's most qualified do it is my thought.
I fully agree, and I've got lots of friends that are male that can actually cook with the help of their wives marinating something. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on.
Well, I can marinate things myself, actually.
Okay, tell us about them, James.
Here's the point. I mean, if the barbecue is going to be an impromptu one, you probably don't have the time to marinate it for maybe as long as
ideal,
which can be up to 48 hours. A lot of people swear by marinating it for really quite a long time.
I'm always scrambling around for a last-minute recipe, so I like things that are not marinated. But tell us about...
I know you've got a chicken marinade, and I think we'll listen to your chicken marinade. I mean, most of these marinades tend to be fairly similar or have at least a lot of the same ingredients. So you'll have a bit of soy, perhaps, lemon juice, certainly, Worcester sauce, something spicy, a bit of garlic, some salt and pepper, a bit of brown sugar. Careful with brown sugar, whatever you're doing. Whether you're doing a dry rub or you're doing a marinade, a wet marinade, remember that sugar burns really easily. And one of the great snags of barbecues is carbonizing
catching
stuff
fire
on the outside. Yes, it's a great aspect of a marinade or a dry rub, but don't do too much of it because you've got a good chance of burning it.
Okay, so I've got a chicken pieces marinade. Well, it's not really a marinade. So what my friend Lulu does is she takes her chicken pieces, very important to pat them dry with a kitchen roll or something, and then she just applies tomato paste, to the dry chicken piece, smears it on, and then puts a bit of soy sauce over the top of them, a bit of olive oil, a bit of salt, and a bit of pepper, and cooks. And, you know, I've had it several times, and they are delicious.
It sounds wonderfully simple, and I think quite a lot of the devil is not in too much detail in this particular case. I think it's a very good idea to be simple. A million different things probably isn't necessary or aren't necessary.
Yeah, keep your barbecue simple.
Keep it all fairly simple. The steak marinade, for example.
Ooh, tell me about that.
With any amount of beef. Bit of garlic, some chilies, depending on how hot you like it, obviously. Ale, beer, just a little. A few onions or shallots, just chopped up in the marinade. A little bit of coriander, a little bit of that brown sugar, and I mean a little bit. Some lemon juice and some salt and pepper. And just marinate your steak or whatever that happens to be beef. And it would work perfectly well with something like pork, for example, if that's what you're interested in. And, yeah, marinate it for 24, 48 hours, whatever, however long you've got. If, however, you haven't got much time, if you're talking about, I want to do it now.
Dry rubs.
Yeah, I use dry rub. And again, it's a lot of the same ingredients, but they are all dry. Surprise, surprise. A bit of that brown sugar, some smoky paprika.
Nice.
Some mustard powder, a bit of cayenne, a little bit of garlic powder and salt and pepper. And just anoint whatever it is that you're cooking with that. And then you're ready to go.
Fabulous. Do you ever do butterflied lamb? Because I admire people that do that, but I've never done it.
Friends of mine certainly do. I tend not to be honest with you. I end up swearing at it. The point about it is lamb and beef, and it's probably a good point. I am in the extremely dogmatic section of the populace who believes that lamb and beef should be eaten pink.
Ah, okay.
Extremely pink.
I mean, and charred on the outside.
Well, yes. Yes, the fat should be sort of lightly charred. But, I mean, if you're just after sort of everything extremely well done, I've got a better idea. Why don't you just set fire to your beef or lamb, carbonise it, because you won't be able to taste the meat anyway. And carbon tastes perfectly good whichever way you do it, I imagine. So do it pink. Do yourselves a favour. Don't eat it burned.
So tell me about what you would serve with any of these dishes. Have you got any ideas for
salads
sides?
Salads you're talking about.
Yeah, yes, salads.
My dear better half, who's got a marvellous range of these things, which she has brought me into the secret of over the years. There's a couscous salad she does, which is very simple. Couscous, a bit of lemon zest, raisins, pine nuts, fairly healthy amount of olive oil and a bit of coriander. Absolutely
sounds fabulous.
Delicious, yes. There's what you and I would call salata choriatiki, which
that's a Greek salad. For
everybody listening might call a Greek salad. It's actually it translates as peasant salad, but for some reason we call it Greek salad because perhaps nobody would want to eat peasant salad. So
you're probably right there, James.
Tomatoes, cucumbers. I like to skin the cucumbers simply because it reminds me of Greece. Happy days. Olives, peppers. Feta cheese,
of course,
and a dressing of a little bit of lemon and a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, and you're there.
That's my standard go-to dressing.
Herbs, a little bit of thyme, a little bit of oregano.
Delicious, yes. Takes me back.
Yeah, it takes
so me. I've got another salad dressing from my friend Lulu because I like her salad dressing, and what this is you take a jam jar, you take 4 tablespoons of white vinegar, 9 tablespoons of olive oil, add a teaspoon of salt, a teaspoon of Dijon mustard, 2 teaspoons of sugar, put the lid on, shake it up, and then you dress your salad and then you toss it.
Fantastic.
And it's really delicious. Mm-hmm. And an alternative to just olive oil and lemon juice, which is what I normally use.
Australians and South Africans and Argentinians, who are regarded as the ne plus ultra of barbecues, the more meat they can put on things, the better. As you know, they might chuck a few prawns on a barbie or something like that. And the South Africans, for example, have boerewors, which are those incredibly long coils of sausages. Delicious. I mean, sausages are delicious, but do get good ones. Morgan's, for example, doing plenty of great sausages at the moment.
They've also got the most excellent ribs in a barbecue sauce.
They have fantastic ribs. They have fantastic skewers as well. Chicken, lamb, whatever you like.
Yeah, I've tried those as well. Yeah.
Very good.
If you're a vegetarian, you can just add lots of chunks of vegetables to a skewer.
Yeah,
so cater for the veggies. You don't have to do veggie burgers.
Tomatoes even, just bang them on. They don't need very long, obviously. And taste delicious, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, James, I'm off to have a little bit of a barbecue myself then.
I might do. The way I'm feeling right now, I may not be inviting too many people along. It'll be just me. I'm feeling somewhat selfish, so I think we'll just... Me and myself. I think I deserve it.
Have a nice afternoon then.
Thank you.
Bye.
Claire, now, have you had many barbecues this year?
No, we've only had one. We're not massive barbecuers, if that's the word. But I know, Geoff, you are. How many have you had this year so far?
Not as many as normal, but I did have one at the weekend. I had some lovely steak burgers, kebabs from a well-known butcher's in the town.
That sounds like a nice selection of food for your barbecue, Geoff. But you wonder why people call you Sturdy?
Now that is harsh. I thought you were my friend, Claire. Now, if you're enjoying the recipe exchange and have a recipe you'd like to share, do let us know.
A few weeks ago, we spoke to Neil Hornsby from Beedales about their online junior band night. Well, this Friday, the Petersfield School is hosting a virtual summer music festival to showcase the musical talents of the students there. Chris Ricketts is a music teacher at the school, and he's here to tell us all about it and how you can tune in to listen. Hi, Chris. It's great to have you on the Peapod. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
So what is a virtual summer music festival?
So as you know, I'm a teacher at TPS School. I've just been there this year, and I work for the Bohunt Academy Trust of Schools. And I've been teaching sort of music there for the first term until everything sort of went a bit pear-shaped, let's say. And I think a lot of the teachers at the school are missing a lot of the students. I mean, we've got a huge, huge amount of talented students there, and it's just nice to be able to sort of share their talent and to see each other perform, and they're probably missing their friends. It's just an opportunity for everyone to sort of really enjoy the TPS sort of talent that we've got, really.
Yes, I know usually throughout the year, TPS puts on various different music events and music shows so that the students can showcase their talents, and usually ends in the summer with a music festival, but obviously that can't happen this year. So it's fantastic that you're going to be able to put on a virtual show. How many students have you got involved?
We've got about 20 students in total. We've got some of them that have put together collaboration videos, which are fantastic. And we've even got our current head of music in a video doing some performance with her son, who's a year 7 student. Yeah, and it's just a real sort of wonderful mix of people across the whole school, really.
And how is this going to be able to be viewed? How are you putting it online?
Friday evening, we're going to sort of put a live showing up on our TPS Facebook page. So on the school Facebook page and on the studio Facebook page. And obviously, I'll be sharing it around. And hopefully, we can share it around as much as possible sort of to show off the incredible students we do have.
And is there a particular time when that goes on live online?
Yeah, sorry, it'll be 7 p.m. on Friday evening.
You're a musician in your own right, I understand. What kind of music do you play?
My background is folk and traditional music, and a lot of sort of sea shanties and sea songs is the best way to describe it. Due to my university, I went to Newcastle, and I studied folk and traditional music there, and I was told that I was limited to sing only songs from Hampshire, and sort of me being me, didn't like being told what to do. Sort of found a way around it, and sort of obviously the sea shanties and sea songs travelled everywhere, and sort of that was my sort of way of saying I want to sing other songs, not just ones from Hampshire.
And is this something you bring to your students as a teacher?
Yeah, we do a folk music module at times, and we're sort of bringing that in a bit more next year, I think. I love playing and performing. I mean, I worked on cruise ships for 6 years as a comedy entertainer as well before coming back into education. And I think it's just that sort of musicality and ensemble playing and performance technique is sort of my real passion and love. And I think that's something that I try and incorporate day in, day out within my music classroom, is that performance aspect and that collaboration with other people.
And with the virtual summer music festival taking place, are there students participating from all years across the school?
Yes, right across from year 7 right up to our year 11s. We've got a surprise at the end as well with a big collaboration of students that was seen earlier in the year. If you have been up to date with TPS sort of performances, you'll get a real nice treat at the end of the show to sort of see a lot of our year 11s that sort of didn't get the send-off that we wanted to give them. Their year was cut short, and it's a horrible situation for them to be in. I think for those that are involved, it'll be nice to see this collaboration video at the end with some of their classmates involved.
That must have been quite an undertaking, though, to put all those videos together. How did you get all the material from the students?
We are still collecting it now. We sent out the letter and said any of those people that wanted to be involved, do please send it through. And it's now just sort of the process that we're putting it together and making it into a sort of live event concert show.
It must be nice as a teacher to be able to see your students again, and it'll be nice for them to see friends, won't it, when they watch the show online on Friday?
Yeah, it'll be amazing. And I think there's hundreds of other teachers across the country that are feeling exactly the same way. And I mean, in particular, the TPS teachers, it would be nice for them to see these students. And I teach music, so I see it regularly, but not all teachers know the talents of these students a lot of the time, so it's nice for them to showcase a different side of them, which I think is very interesting. It's certainly been a challenge, and I think trying to set those tasks and those things for students so they can sort of work together in peer groups and things is quite important at the moment, if not very difficult. But we're adapting and changing as much as we possibly can to come up with a curriculum that's suited and relevant to the current situation and to our current students.
Thanks so much, Chris, for coming on and telling us all about it.
No, thank you so much for taking the time to sort of help us out and help promote. So that's really appreciated.
The P stands for Petersfield.
It's a lovely area, lovely people, lovely atmosphere.
The Pea Pod.
Still to come, you'll hear Martin Bamford's money news and Kosh saves you dosh. But first, here's Susie with a wild walk at the Weald and Downland Living Museum.
In this clip of Susie's walk, Susie and Rain anticipate the reopening of the museum on a special Friends opening of the grounds.
Good girl, settle here. Good. I can't begin to describe the joy of being back at the Weald and Downland Museum. It's open to Friends at the moment and open to the general public from the 4th of July. So the Friends are trying out the new system, which is pre-booked arrival slots. So there's not a time limit on how long you stay here, but obviously they don't want to scrum on the way in. And I'm sitting outside my favourite house, which is, of course, the Saxon House, where I've done many readings and so on. And there are so few people here. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, yes.
Good. Yeah. Just saying that I've done so many readings here at the Saxon House, and it's
really
strange to be back and it's empty. So, as you've probably heard, the people that have come feel such fondness for the museum. And, no, there probably is a black Labrador because that was Sue who has one. She used to be a neighbour of mine when we lived in East Lavant. So I'm sitting here with acid green leaves above me and a totally blue sky because this is a glorious week. And we've seen the horses and we've seen the houses that we love, even though, of course, they're shut at the moment. You can't actually go in them, although they're virtually all very well ventilated, of course. So I think that's a matter of time. But the museum has thought long and hard, and I think this pre-booking is really good. And I heard on the Today programme, well, during the past week, I know you can't say hello to everybody, that it's not just about the money. In fact, museum and art gallery owners tend not to be, or, you know, custodians tend not to be talking about the money, though, of course, that the loss is considerable. But it is that wanting to share with the public, that the immersive experience. I think by now we've all got a bit tired of Zoom. There's only so much that a screen can give you. And I think that's a lesson for us all as we go forward into our future, is that nothing beats the actual experience, the being, the smelling, the sounds of the birds in the canopy. Rain, am I ask any dog? I mean, any dog is not going to swap a screen for the smells, the scents. Rain has just gone mental. She's gone charging past the piglets and then skidding to a halt and then mounting the sort of wattle and daub fence thing to just say hello to them. And they came truffling over. I took a short film of them coming over, so I might put that on this Wild Walk page. But just in seeing the volunteers, so thrilled to see Richard because he's a warden here, and hopefully because he's fighting fit, he'll be allowed back in to be a warden soon. And I'm also hoping that we'll be able to talk to Simon, who's director of the museum, at some point on the Peapod or elsewhere. So I'll continue. I just feel so lucky to be able to come here. But of course, in after July the 4th, so would you be.
Thanks, Susie. And you can listen to the entire walk at petersfieldradio.uk. The Weald and Downland Living Museum will be open to the public from July the 6th. Do visit their website for further information and how to book tickets.
Who needs Martin Lewis when we have Martin Bamford? This week's Money Moment comes from Martin's new garden office, where he talks about the wealth divide exposed in the UK by COVID-19, falling residential property sales and single mothers who are seeking unpaid child maintenance.
Poorer households have relied more on savings and borrowing money to get them through the lockdown. According to research by the Resolution Foundation, workers in the shut-down parts of the economy already had lower savings than those able to continue working during the pandemic. George Bangham, economist at the Resolution Foundation, said pre-coronavirus Britain was marked by soaring wealth and damaging wealth gaps between households. These wealth divides have been exposed by the crisis. While higher income households have built up their savings, many lower income households have run theirs down and had to turn to high interest credit. The ongoing accounting scandal at Wirecard in Germany has claimed UK victims today after the Financial Conduct Authority suspended all activity at Wirecard Solutions Limited. The FCA imposed several requirements on Wirecard, including that the firm must not dispose of any assets or funds or carry on any regulated activities. Wirecard's parent company in Germany, Wirecard AG, is subject to insolvency proceedings following accounting irregularities, with reports last weekend of €1.9 billion missing from the accounts. A group of single mothers are seeking a judicial review into unpaid child maintenance. The group of four women want to challenge the failure of the child maintenance service. According to recent figures, £354 million is owed by absent parents, with less than 10% of this money successfully recovered. The four women said they are owed payments of between £2,000 and £8,000, dating back a number of years. Residential property sales fell by half during May compared with the same month a year earlier. HM Revenue and Customs data shows a total of 46,230 property transactions completed last month, some 52% fewer than in May last year. Property transactions fell to a record low in April to just 37,000. Energy companies can resume chasing for unpaid debts but cannot use aggressive tactics. Energy regulator Ofgem has told energy suppliers it is not in anyone's interest for an open-ended debt collection delay. Current restrictions on civil enforcement officers pursuing other debts remain in place until the 24th of August.
Thanks, as always, to Martin and the team at Informed Choice.
And now, Petersfield Community Radio's Alan Kosh identifies ways where you can save money. Fed up with carrying numerous bank and loyalty cards and an overflowing wallet, Alan's got a handy tip.
Bish, bash, bosh, Alan Kosh, we'll save you dosh.
It's probably the case just about all of us has bought something through Amazon at some time or another, and maybe some of you quite frequently. As you know, Amazon is a massive international organisation, and therefore you can buy their products from other countries throughout the world. Now, here's the thing. If you are aware of a product that is made in a particular country, you can buy it in that country and get it delivered here in the UK. Why should you do that, I hear you say? If you know the name of the product you're looking for and it's made abroad, it is often the case it will be much cheaper to order it from that country. Many white goods, for example, are made in Germany and Italy, and significant savings can be made even after the delivery costs. As much as £100 can be saved on white goods, cookers, etc. So shop around, not just in this country. Now lastly today, a simple little app I would recommend is called Stocard, spelled S-T-O-C-A-R-D. It's not a money saver, but more of a very useful shopping aid. If, like my wife, you collect loyalty cards from just about every shop across the country and carry a dozen or so cards in a wallet or in your handbag, then you can now download them all into Stocard. Stocard will keep all the details required by the shop to activate your rewards. Simply open it, click on the shop you're in, and all the details will appear instantly. Just scan your phone for the shop attendant. Job done. It's specific to loyalty cards and will not get lost in other documents in your iPhone wallet app. Keep saving at Osh. Every little helps.
Bish, bash, bosh, Alan Kosh. We'll save you, Dosh.
Thanks, Alan. We'll bring you more Dosh saving tips next week. Coming up, Helen Adams will relax us with her mindful moment, and Lauren Wayland brings us the Petersfield Museum's 60-second history.
Here's a surname that sounds familiar. Yes, it's young Nina Venice, who's been at Butts Ancient Farm. It's set in a gorgeous spot nestled in the South Downs National Park. Butts Ancient Farm is a unique experimental archaeological site with ancient buildings dating from the Stone Age through to the Anglo-Saxons. It's a really special place to visit, and Nina meets with director Maureen Page to find out how the site is planning to reopen from July the 4th.
You've obviously had to close the farm to the public. Have you been here working still?
No, I'm afraid we had to furlough all our staff because we had no income at all since the lockdown started. And so it's been very, very quiet here. We've just popped in to check on our animals to make sure they're safe. We've had lambs born and they're really quite chubby now. And more recently, a goat. So, yes, things... It's been very, very quiet, and that means that the wildlife has kind of taken over. We put our trail cam out, and we caught footage of lots of deer and foxes and badgers and hedgehogs. It's been wonderful.
It was a great shame the Beltane didn't happen, but I saw that you did an online event instead. How was that received?
It was really, really successful. It's the first time we'd ever done anything like that, but all the people that wanted to be here and perform and have a part in Beltane were really keen to do something, and we were keen that they were able to advertise themselves. And so some of my self-employed staff and volunteers put that together, and it was really, really successful. So successful that I think there's a possibility we might be doing something like that again.
Yes, yeah, so I imagine you have big plans for Beltane 2021.
Yes, hopefully it won't be just online then.
Yeah.
We do. Everybody who wanted to be involved this year has already said yes, next year. Yes, put the date in the diary. And we're already planning on that. Obviously, there's a long way to go before then, and we're all keeping our fingers crossed that things will be safe and we will be able to hold Beltane actually at the site with the lovely atmosphere that we always have.
I understand that you are opening the farm again to the public on July the 4th. What changes have you had to put in place?
Yes, we are planning to open on July the 4th. We've had to limit the amount of time we're open for. So from the 4th, it's a Saturday, we're only going to be open on Saturdays, Sundays and Thursdays for the moment. And we'll see how that goes. And tickets have to be pre-booked. We're setting up a new ticketing system right now. So hopefully by Monday, it will be up and ready to book. And people can book for entrance at a particular time so that we can space out people as they arrive. But hopefully it will be really successful.
So are you planning any events during the summer or later on in this year?
At the moment, we've had to put a hold on all the events we have planned, but we're watching the guidance and we'll react really quickly to that. We're hoping that people would just like to come and see our farm. It's a lovely, safe, open-air site, and it's really peaceful. And as far as people's well-being and health is concerned, it's a lovely, lovely place to be. Today, I've got some staff in for training because I need to explain to them what we set up. And they're all just so pleased to be here. And I'm hoping that members of the public will feel the same when they come.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I've heard you've had a patter of tiny hoos just recently. Please can you tell me more about the new arrival?
Yep, the new arrival arrived on Tuesday morning. I got here just 10 minutes, I think, after he was born. He's a kid goat. He's one of our rare breed Old English goats. And we've called him Ash. He's a beautiful colour. And he's going to have horns because he's got two knobbles already on his head. And he's doing really well. His mother, Sorrel, is looking after him really carefully. A very good, very patient mum. So people might like to come along and see Ash and his mum. But we've also got another goat who's very pregnant. Really? So we were expecting Bella to have given birth by now as well. So very imminent.
Yeah. So thank you, Maureen. It sounds great.
The first batch of tickets are now available to book to visit the farm. Go to butseransientfarm.co.uk/reopening to find out how.
The Peapod Events Guide. What's on in the Petersphere?
The wonderful and talented volunteers at Petersfield Community Radio are still making great audio despite the lockdown restrictions. So while we all wait for places to reopen and events to attend, take a listen at petersfieldradio.uk. Here's a sneaky peek at what's on offer.
The Morning Report is your Monday to Friday update full of essential local information for Petersfield and its villages. Tune in to find out the latest news and interviews around the Petersphere.
Find out where Susie Wild goes on her wild walks every week. In each episode, Susie describes the vivid scenes of the South Downs environment and the thoughts they provoke for her. This is speech radio at its most pure and enjoyable.
Noni Knees is back with her recipe exchange series. She talks to James Fairweather as they plunder his pantry and offers a lovely pesto recipe after a socially distant garden visit with friends.
Walking with Poetry with Burriton actor Abigail McKern. Abigail talks to Petersfield Community Radio's Susie Wild and Harrison RB about her YouTube channel, where she likes to go walking with poetry.
You'll find these and more audio at petersfieldradio.uk or search Petersfield on your favourite podcast app.
If you're running an event, get it in the guide. Just email pod@thepeapod.uk.
Claire, do you like a good stretch? This week's Mindful Moment looks at why we should all be stretching more. I wonder, Claire, if it will make me taller and less sturdy.
Hello, I'm Helen Adams, and welcome to this week's Inspirational Wellness Moment. This week's topic is stretching. All too often in our busy modern lives and ways of working, we can find ourselves, our bodies, stuck in one fixed position for prolonged periods. Joints and muscles held in tension, accompanied by endless repetitive movements, whilst we are absorbed in our work or play. Or perhaps we've engaged in sudden unused to physical exercise, gardening or DIY, which our bodies may or may not be accustomed to. Stretching after periods of activity or inactivity has numerous positive benefits. Stretching helps maintain muscle strength and length. Shortened muscles which are tight can cause us discomfort. Stretching keeps our joints healthy and supports our very important range of motion. It improves the blood supply and fluid drainage. Think of stretching as your own mini massaging session. Stretching calms the mind and eases tension when done carefully and mindfully. We wouldn't run our cars without proper maintenance, so why should we treat our bodies without the same care and attention? Stretching before and after exercise helps us to perform better and helps reduce the risk of injury. But stretching at least 3 times a week is recommended, even if you don't exercise. A good way to learn stretching is to join a local stretching class, or perhaps a beginner's yoga or Pilates, Qigong or Tai Chi class. You could inquire at your local gym about a stretching session tailored just for you from a qualified personal trainer. If you have a lot of tightness or pain in your body, and you're unsure what stretches and exercises might safely benefit you, you might like to contact your local osteopath, chiropractor, or a physiotherapist. Ask for a personalised programme to follow. This is what they like to do and love to help with. And then it's over to you to make this a wonderful, helpful, life-enhancing habit. Remember, stretching shouldn't feel painful. It can be done gently and mindfully, and in a way that carefully listens to your body, as your body may feel different on any given day. Animals intuitively know how to stretch, and we can follow their example. So make yourself a promise today to make like a cat and stretch more, and your future you will thank you for it.
If you'd like to listen to more relaxing and stress-busting meditations, do head over to Helen's page on Facebook, or you can reach Helen at petersfieldmassage.co.uk.
With her face appearing on the new £10 note, Jane Austen is not the first of her family to appear on a banknote. This week's 60-second history from the Petersfield Museum comes from engagement assistant Lauren Wayland.
When Jane Austen appeared on the new £10 banknote back in 2017, it was actually the second Austen banknote to be issued. Henry Austen, a London banker and Jane's favourite brother, was founder of several banking businesses, including the Petersfield Bank. The bank was situated at 13 The Square, where the Rams Walk entrance now stands. Henry's banks, including ones in Petersfield and Alton, all flourished during the Napoleonic Wars. The majority of new banks provided loans to farmers and landowners. At the time, food imports were difficult to come by, making homegrown provisions a profitable business. But it wasn't to last. After the Battle of Waterloo in 1815, England fell into a post-war depression. Each of Henry's banks failed. The Austen family were badly hit. However, despite losing money, Jane and the rest of the Austen family remained loyal to him. Henry left the banking industry and entered the church, becoming curate of Chawton in Hampshire. Following Jane's death in 1817, Henry and his sister Cassandra arranged for the publication of Jane's novels Northanger Abbey and Persuasion.
And just like that, we've come to the end of another edition of the Peapod. Thank you for joining us, and to our guest, Chris Ricketts, and the fantastic team of volunteers at Petersfield Community Radio.
If you'd like to get involved in Petersfield Community Radio, do get in touch. Whether you'd like to present a show, create interesting audio, read the news, or get involved behind the scenes, we're still accepting volunteers. We've got a fantastic and very friendly team of volunteers working to bring great radio to the Petersfield area. So don't be shy.
In fact, auditions are going to take place very soon. So if you're interested in being part of the project, get in touch.
It's great fun, and you'll be providing a service to the town, and we'll make some really good friends in the process.
We're on Petersfield 555 500, or email us at pod@thepeapod.uk. And we're also on the main social media apps.
So join us again in the Peapod next week, where we'll be at the Old Drum, catching up with Manager Dean to find out how they've managed to keep things ticking over in lockdown and what measures they're taking to open again.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, me too. As lovely as your garden is, Geoff, it'll be fantastic to be in a pub garden again.
So from the both of us in my back garden, until next time, bye.
Bye.
The Peapod is produced by volunteers at Petersfield Community Radio.
Hello, I'm Hugh Bonneville, and if you want to keep in touch with everything that's happening in and around Petersfield, the team at Petersfield Community Radio is here to help. The Daily Morning Report is full of essential local information, and The Peapod brings you personalities and real human stories every week. Find them all at petersfieldradio.uk.